morning. I'm Sandra Swain, and this is After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. And our guest today is Paul Benoit, the city manager for the city of Astoria. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
We have so many things we could talk about, don't we?
We do.
I was thinking that because it's budget time, we might just start with that. I've been very impressed that Astoria seems to have, budgeted wisely because so many other places are really struggling, and it seems our budget has worked out pretty well.
Actually it has. And, it isn't because I think Astoria is in so much better shape economically. I mean, there are a lot of businesses, a lot of people struggling here like everywhere else in the county, in the state, and across the country. But for Astoria, we started a year ago trying to make adjustments in anticipation of it getting. We kind of saw it coming last year, late in the game, last year during the budget period.
What was the tip-off?
It's when the finance director came up to me and said, "If we don't cut $1 million out of the budget, we're gonna be in a deficit." And,
oh,
you know, and that news came late, but it came last year, and so the adjustments we made last year really put us in a position going into this year where we're more stable. Just a couple of examples. Everyone has heard about the Aquatic Center and has read about it. There's been a lot of coverage, but we made adjustments in that operation that. Went from a deficit, so we were subsidizing that operation by almost $500,000, $500,000. This year, the subsidy, so I'm saying this year ending June 30, is going to be between $0 and $40,000. So we don't know what the final count is yet. We'll see at close of the year.
Oh, that's right. We didn't finish this year yet, did we?
No, June 30
the fiscal
finishes
year,
the year.
Yeah.
So the budget we were proposing to the council, it's already been approved by the budget committee. It goes to the council for public hearing Monday night, and then it'll come back at the end of the month. But that budget is, there's no cuts in programs, no cuts in staff. And there's a solid ending fund balance or contingency, if you will. And so I mentioned the Aquatic Center, but some of the other really significant changes, you know, and I'll mention one in particular. Last year, the General Employees Union, I had asked employees to consider foregoing a contractual right to a 3.75% wage adjustment because these contracts were negotiated a couple of years ago and the economy was in a different condition. And so they had a contractual right to that increase, and that union chose to give it up. They had 0% last year. They also agreed to go to a different medical plan. So we were on a very good medical plan, and we're on one that is still very good, but considerably less expensive than the earlier one. And same thing with all management staff in the city. We went down, right, the fire department. Lots of employees really stepped up. And I think by changing our medical plan and foregoing wage increases last year, it really put us in a position coming into this year that we're more healthy.
And maybe having such an experienced finance director is helpful too.
Yeah. You know, John Snyder, who you're referencing, has been our finance director for 23 years now. And he's announced his retirement. He's retiring August, September. But John knows the city finances inside and out. And having someone kind of at the helm like John, I don't come from a finance background. I understand it. I need to. But having someone with the kind of expertise and experience that John has just been a tremendous help.
He knows where every dime is, and he takes good care of it
from
my experience with him. Well, since things are so tight, a lot of people wonder, how can you be even thinking about renovating Astoria City Hall?
That is in the budget this year, and we are proposing to renovate that building. And I, as you're implying, I've had a lot of questions from people and from employees about that. The renovation of it, two things. One, it's really needed. It's long overdue. That building, we need to care for it. I think the city has been a good steward, but it's time to make that building, and I'll say more customer friendly, because that's really the real key to what we're looking at. But the funds that we are looking at dedicating to the at least the majority of funds would come from the capital improvement fund. So it's not general operating money. And the money that goes in the capital improvement fund, our revenue, comes primarily from sale of city property. And lately, it's come from storm cleanup. You know, the December 2007 storm that knocked our forest down, we've been cleaning all that up to reduce hazards and fire danger. But there's been revenue from that in probably close to $1 million. And so that has gone into the capital improvement fund. That's what we're going to dedicate to renovating the building. And I want to say a couple more things about that. One is there's probably no better time to do it. Yeah, we're in tough times and we have to be good stewards with our money. But if you're going to renovate a building like City Hall, this is probably the best time. The bids, you talk to architects and engineers, contractors are hungry. I mean, there are people who need work out there. And by going out to bid on a project like this renovation, we may see prices come in between 15 and 30% lower than had we gone out to bid 2 years ago. Or if we wait 2 years from now for the economic conditions to recover, everyone's going to be busy. So people need work now, and we're getting the best bids now. So this is a good time to do it.
So the storm had a silver lining. That's really amazing.
Yeah, I guess if you're looking for a silver lining.
Dollars coming in,
because
a windfall.
We don't have a lot of surplus city property. Right. And again, that's the primary revenue that goes into the capital improvement fund. The goal of that project is really to try to complete all work for under $2 million. Now, we've identified $1.4 million in the capital improvement fund. And that's what we believe it will. The construction will take. But in addition to construction, we need to ensure that there's an adequate contingency. It's a very historic building. It's an old building. Anyone who's done just a home remodel knows about the surprises you run into, you know, when you get into a project. Mm-hmm. So we need to have a contingency set aside. We have to cover the cost for the architect and engineering. And that's going to be, you know, generally architects and engineers will quote a design fee to take your project from concept to blueprints to construction of about 12% of your budget. We've negotiated a 10% fee with the architects, and they're giving us credit for past work. But that bill is going to be somewhere in the range of $120,000, not cheap, but it's a good price for that kind of work. And then we have to look at what, you know, architects reference as FF&E, furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Now, we intend to reuse most all of our existing furniture. You know, we're not going to be getting all new.
It's antique furniture, too.
But it works.
No, it's wonderful. It's great to have such nice furniture
there. But there's going to be some upgrades that we're going to have to do. There's, you know, probably in the renovation of the city council chambers, we need a better sound system in there. The council dais will need to be relocated. We probably need better furniture for the audience in there. So I guess what I'm saying is, in addition to the 1.4, there's soft costs. And, you know, the goal would be to keep the project under $2 million. And if we can do that, I think we're going to be in really good shape.
Well, getting back to how budgeting is done, is it true that if you have something in the capital improvement fund that you have to use it for capital improvements, or can you take it out and spend it on something else, or does it?
You could. I mean, you can't just do it. I mean, you'd have to take it to the council and do a public hearing and a reallocation of revenue. But that fund is dedicated for capital improvements. So that's not to say that a council couldn't shift the money, but that's very bad budgeting, very bad financial planning. And the one thing that you really want to avoid, I think generally, unless sort of you're just in desperate condition, but you don't want to fund ongoing operations with one-time money. So the money in the capital improvement fund is one-time money. You sell a piece of property and you get some revenue for that. You can't sell it again. Once you sell it, that's it. So you've got the revenue. So you don't want to operate your police and fire department that way, because next year you don't have that money. So in tight times, we have to do what we did last year, which is really look at reducing costs. Operating costs, because we, you know, particularly for personnel, and I'll look particularly public safety, public works, we need, those are essential function, essential services, and you need them year in and year out, year after year. So you have to ensure that you have a stable source of funding. And so in this economy, when that stable source of funding is threatened, we need to look at making reductions. And that's where my earlier comment about changing medical plans, perhaps foregoing negotiated wage increases, things like that. Short of that, then you look at a reduction in force, which is a nice way of saying layoffs. And we did do some layoffs last year. This year, we're not anticipating any
Oh, that'll be good news for people. We're talking to Paul Benoit. He's the city manager of the city of Astoria. I'm Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian, and this is After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. Getting back to the City Hall remodel, or I guess it's a reconfiguration, really, and you talked about wanting to be able to serve the public better. What are some of the ways that would be changed?
Well, one of the key components is right now when an Astoria citizen walks in the front door of City Hall, if your intent is actually to go to the third floor and get a building permit or talk to the city planner or meet with the city engineer, which is what most of the traffic is doing. They're coming up to meet with planning department, community development, building codes. If you come in the front door of City Hall, you're told you came in the wrong door. You have to go outside, go around the block, come in the side door. And if you lived in a nice, sunny, calm climate, that's probably okay. It's inconvenient, but it's okay. But here, it's, you know, blasting rain, and, you know, you get the citizen walking in, shaking the rain off, stomping their feet, and we say, oh, no, go back outside and go around, come in the side door. It's just not very customer-friendly. What we want to do is make it so when you come in the front door of the building, you're in the building, and you can get wherever you need to go. A component of that is going to be adding new stairways. So we will actually be cutting a hole in the second floor. So when you come in the front door, if you want to go to the city council chambers, you can come in the front door. There'll be sort of a very spacious stairway, you know, that'll accommodate people, that'll take you up to the council chambers. There'll be another stairway that'll go from the council chambers up to the third floor. For people who need access to the elevator, you'll be able to access the elevator because it's in the back corner of the building by the side door, but you can access it through the front door. That'll be the big thing. The other thing we're going to do is take all of the departments, now primarily engineering and community development, down to the first floor. So those departments that have high public contact will be on the first floor. Right now our finance department is on the first floor. They see significant traffic also, but not compared to the departments on the third floor. So we're going to do a flip. The finance department will go to the third floor. The high traffic department's going to come to the first floor. The other thing we're going to do is renovate or reconfigure the city council chambers. Anyone who's been in our city council chambers knows some of the problems with that room. It's L-shaped. So depending on where you're sitting, you can't see what's going on. You know, you can't see around the wall. So we're going to square it off and reorient it and take it so that it goes from the east face of the building, which looks down on the Legion Square or Safeway Square or whatever you want to call it. But from that window, from that face of the building all the way to the back building, we'll have a large rectangular council chambers. It'll accommodate more people. You can see from any place in the room. We'll improve the sound system, improve the seating, and just make it a comfortable place for our citizens.
It's pretty cozy right now, I've always thought.
Yeah, with the ceilings that are just about 6.5 feet above your head. Because it used to be, I mean, that's the second floor was added in the early 1980s. When you came in the front door of City Hall, it was an old bank building, and you looked up and you probably had 25-foot high ceilings, kind of the grand old bank style. But they added a second floor, which... That's why when you go into the council chambers, you have these big box beams that are, you know, 1.5 feet above your head. And they used to be 25 feet above your head. But that's how they created space in that building.
Well, I sensed that there'd been a change like that when I noticed that those fancy columns with all the grapes or whatever on top of them were only so like half.
Yeah, it's an odd space, but it works. And
you know, I like it.
Actually, and I was just going to say, you say you like it, and the council does, and the public does too. It's an odd space, but there's something comfortable about it.
Yeah, it matches us somehow, the community. Yeah. All right. Well, you mentioned the Safeway Plaza block. Before I get into that, though, well, before we leave the budget, we've had a question about property taxes. Is that will property taxes be affected by the economic climate or the projects that?
I think most people understand that the city doesn't control property taxes. We don't set the rates. We don't.
It's the county.
The county, right, does that, and so it's entirely controlled by Oregon statute. Also, over the years in Oregon with the property tax limitation measures 5, measure 47, measure 50, and it's gotten so complicated.
It really has. I know. I can't understand it either.
You have to bring in the county to come in and speak to that. But the city, we're just told what the collections will be for our budgeting purposes. The county says this is what we anticipate tax revenue for the city of Astoria. We don't control it. We don't affect it.
And, of course, so. We have the highest taxes of any of the municipalities or else. Or,
we do. Yeah, Astoria does. And actually not just in Clatsop County, but in the state. I wouldn't say we're the highest, but we're up there. And it's just an art of it's when the tax limitation measures were passed, there were just formulas that went into place and locked everything, froze everything as it is. And then it's just indexed by the county annually. I think property taxes, absent you building a new house or major remodel or putting an addition on, your property tax bill cannot increase by more than 3% a year, unless there's like a bond measure that passes or something like that. So it's very restricted, and we're in a position where, you know, our tax rate was frozen in time some years ago, and that's what we live with. And it is high. You know, our utility rates are high. This is an expensive community to live in, and it's a full-service community. I mean, there's a lot of communities that have all-volunteer fire departments. They don't have a library. They don't really have a park system. Astoria's history has been that it's a full-service community, and we have a library. We have a professional fire department. We have a healthy park system, and all of those things relate to what the tax rate is.
And I think that can be kind of annoying to people who are paying those taxes when other people say, well, why can't we have a library card? You know, why do we have to pay for it? Well, because you live in Napa and you're not paying taxes.
Well, and you know, and I had an interesting experience when the council when we were proposing ending the subsidy to the Aquatic Center.
Right.
Not necessarily closing it, but ending the subsidy to the Aquatic Center. And, you know, we received hundreds of emails from people who were upset about that pending decision. And many of those emails came from across the river, mm-hmm. came from Brownsmead, came from unincorporators of Clatsop County. And when you read the emails, hey, I'm a taxpayer. And, you know, how can you do this? We need this. This is an essential community facility. Yeah. And what that told me, it wasn't that people aren't smart. It's that people look at their community differently. You know, when you work in the city and we think in terms of city limits and we think of Astoria as citizens. But when you live in the community, and when I say the community, I'm thinking that broadly, you know, whether you're in Chinook, Washington or Brownsmead or Lewis and Clark, I think that people look at community differently and they see Astoria as part of their community. And when they write their tax bills, they don't necessarily know who it's getting divvied up among. Mm-hmm. They use all these services and they feel ownership. And that was eye-opening. And it was helpful, actually, because as we looked at the reconfiguration of our programs for the Aquatic Center, we have to realize that our customers are not necessarily just Astorians, Astoria taxpayers. The customer and the quote citizen is from a much bigger region. And so our marketing and our approach and our rate structure kind of reflects that. Because now, again, at the Aquatic Center, there's no in-town, out-of-town fee. It's just a straight fee. So whether you live across the river or you live in the city or wherever, everyone's paying the same rate, which is, I think, appropriate and has been working. I
mean, yeah, well, that's the thing. If anyone doesn't like the way it is now with not having an additional fee if you don't live around here, we could go back to the old way, but then we'd be subsidizing the place to half a million dollars. So, you know, you kind of have to be sensible and practical about that, I guess.
The old way didn't serve us
It just didn't work, so we've got to try something else. All right, but anyway, we started to talk about the Safeway American Legion block, and, you know, it seems like it's been quite a long time since anything happened to change that.
And that's true. and actually, we were going to do it this month, but there's just too much sort of going on, too much on the council's plate. So it's probably going to be end of June, early July. But we intend to bring a whole presentation to the council that will refresh everyone's memory about all of the planning and community conversation that's focused on that block over the past probably now 10 years.
Yes, seems that I've lost count of how many of those little meetings.
You know, one of the council goals that was adopted for the next fiscal year, beginning July 1 to June 30 of the following of next year, is to consider incorporating that block into the Astor East Urban Renewal District. If we do that, it creates a financing tool to assist in that redevelopment. Right now, that's one of the real problems there is financing. And, you know, there was thought about public-private partnerships, things you can do together with a developer where you can create wonderful public space, but also have a good, solid private sector development. No one's doing projects like that right
because
now.
Because of the bad economy.
Just because of the bad economy. Right. So that timing-wise, now is the time that we really ought to really kind of hone in and focus on what's the plan. We've had so many community conversations about this over the years. It's really time to focus and develop the plan and then begin getting ourselves ready so that when the economy does turn, we'll be prepared to go.
Good luck getting all the people who park there to stop parking there.
Yeah, it is very convenient parking for the downtown, and that's going to be difficult. But there, you know, a good design could accommodate a lot of desires for public space, for parking, and for private sector development. Mm-hmm. And that'll be the focus. And again, we'll probably have a public meeting on that with City Council in early July.
All right. We're talking to Astoria City Manager Paul Benoit on After Deadline and Coast Community Radio. I'm Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian. Let's see. One of the things I've been wanting to ask you, you've been in Astoria a long time, went away and came back. Well, when did you first come here? When's the first time you laid eyes on our little city?
Oh, I think it was 1983.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then this question should be all the more illuminating. I wondered, what is the biggest change in Astoria since you first saw it in 1983? Which I guess, I'm doing the math right, what is that, 27 years?
Yeah. Yes. I shouldn't say yeah. Yes. I have been here a long time, and there's a lot of people who were born here. I mean, that's one of the interesting things about this community is people tend to be here for the long haul. When I first came here, because I came here from a tropical island where it was sunny and blue sky all the time.
I think we were just talking about
that. Yeah, and then I came here, so it was a big transition. But the beauty of this place, I mean, just the city on the hill and the river, the people, there's kind of an eclectic nature to the, you know, there's an interesting mix of people, and we don't have necessarily rich neighborhoods and poor neighborhoods. We all live together. And so it just kind of struck a chord with myself and my wife, Connie, and my sons who were born here.
Were all of them born here?
Actually, no. My oldest, Daniel, was born in Guam. We lived in Saipan. Yeah. He was born in Guam. And we moved here when he was 6 months old.
Oh, well, then that's almost enough.
So I have three boys. The other two were born here. And they love this place. And it feels like I'm dodging your question. I'm not. So I'm saying on the one hand, it's still this incredibly beautiful place. It just, you know, if you can withstand the climate, and a lot of people can't, particularly this year, you know, there's no better place to wake up in the morning and look out in the window and just thank whoever you want to thank, you know, that you live in such a beautiful place. But, you know, I remember when we would have, and I'm from back east originally, and we'd have, you know, my family would come visit. If you wanted to go out to a good restaurant, we would go to the Long Beach Peninsula, or you go to Cannon Beach. Honestly, I mean, so you're just asking me my opinion. Mm-hmm. And now I think it's reverse. You know, Astoria has become much more of a destination. I think between the renovation of the Liberty Theater, and you have, you know, wonderful restaurants in town, you know, whether it's, I shouldn't name names, but, you know, Fulio's, Silver Salmon, Clement's, the Bistro under the bridge. I mean, you can just keep naming them off. This has become a destination. It was not before. And I remember when and we're getting flashed for short on time, but I remember when the trolley first came, and I was volunteering, I was one of the drivers, conductors on the trolley, and you know, you get to greet all the people coming on the trolley. And I worked for the city, and I knew people, but I wasn't out there greeting tourists. And I was on the trolley doing that, and there was someone, I remember saying, I said, well, where are you from? And they said, oh, Ohio or something. And I said, well, where are you going? And they kind of looked at me, what do you mean, where am I going? I'm here. And I said, I don't mean the trial. I mean, where, you know, where you're traveling, where is your destination, where you're going? And they said, again, they looked at me and said, Astoria. And it was kind of the first, and it's odd, I should have known, but there was a realization that this has really become a destination. It's a place we want to come. Other little things, big, I mean, the Riverwalk. You know, I worked on that project along with, you know, Willis Van Dusen, the mayor, and the city council over the years, because we've just, and actually going back all the way to Edith Henningsgaard as mayor, but, you know, a lot of effort and money went into that. But for the community, I think that's one of the more special things that's happened in this community. People really love it. I don't look at it as a tourist attraction. It's a place for Astorians to get on level ground and walk along probably the river and the feature that keeps everyone here.
So it's a wonderful thing, and you should be proud of it, because I know you're too modest, but you were very instrumental in getting it done, and the way it's been done incrementally and just keeps on going is fantastic. But I think Astoria I've been here for 25 years, and I think it really just looks different. Remember, you're forgetting the old plywood mill used to be there. That was another huge thing, changing that.
But it feels different. You know, I mean, I people have always loved living here, but it just there's a sense of optimism, even in down times. And downtown feels good. And, you know, we all remember when there was a triangle of bars downtown that, you know, when the sun went down, most people didn't want to be hanging out.
That's totally, right. It has
totally
changed.
Different now. So it's just the whole, just the kind of the, I was going to say the soul of the community, but that's, I don't quite know what that means. But it you feel it in your bones. It's a different place, and it's a more energetic place. And I think we're just going to continue to improve.
And at the time when you first got here, I guess you were more involved in, well, first you were with Crest, I guess, but more planning. And did you ever think that that time you'd be city manager?
No, absolutely not. Not that I wasn't interested. It just wasn't, you know, my background's more in marine biology, actually, and environmental planning. And I just kind of migrated and came to love city work. And I love being the community development director and working on economic development. I didn't have a ladder that I was looking at with an end goal of being city manager, but I love the job. I love the community.
Well, that would be a good closing note, but unfortunately, we have a couple more minutes left. What would you like to add?
Well, I see our engineer, he keeps flashing his fingers. You were talking minutes, not seconds.
Yeah. The Sunday Market and the Astoria Music Festival were a couple of things that our engineer, Terry Wilson here, would have liked to bring up.
Talking points.
Well, you know, quickly, two things, and I'll just mention them quickly, but are the Astoria, the Riverfront Visioning Plan. We just received notice recently that we received a national award for that planning work. And now I know many people say, okay, implement it.
Yes, I said that. What is it going to happen?
But we did receive a national award from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and we were nominated by the state of Oregon. And that's an honor, and we'll get more information out about that. 17th Street Pier, people have probably noticed the Bergerson construction crane out there just left yesterday. All of the damage from the last storm has been repaired. The floating dock is up and running, and it looks like we are faring very well. We've applied for $3.5 million through a state Connect Oregon program to completely reconstruct that pier. Now I'm talking about the pier by the Maritime Museum where the Coast Guard ties up. We're looking at replacing that entire facility with concrete and steel, and statewide we're in the top 10 for a distribution of $100 million.
So, all right. Well, that's a happy...
So watch that.
Happy note to end on.